We rise. To all who look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace to you all. Amen. As we consider the coming of our Lord, we turn to Psalm 85 this Advent season to read this psalm and consider how the psalmist moves from remembering the past to praying for the present and then looking to the future. Lord, you have been favorable to your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of your people. You have covered all their sin. Selah. You have taken away all your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of your anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will hear what the Lord God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and shall make his footsteps our pathway. This is the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, seasons change, but God's salvation endures forever. Christmases come and go, year after year, but not every Christmas is the same. And so he's thinking back. He's remembering Christmases gone by. He thinks fondly on it. He remembers when his little children came out in their pajamas to see what was under the Christmas tree, to look at those nicely wrapped boxes, maybe shake them a little and try to figure out what's inside as they look with anticipation and anxious eyes, wondering what Christmas will bring. But the years pass on. Seasons change, and now he's facing a different sort of anxiety. He was laid off from his job 3 months ago. His wife has left him. He's turned to drinking. His children are out of the house. There's no Christmas tree this year. There's no presents under the tree. And now he sits at his table alone in his apartment, looking with anxious eyes on the divorce papers that just came in the mail. Not every Christmas is the same. Sure, some are filled with family and fond, fuzzy memories. But then there's other ones for other people who are grieving, who have suffered a loss, who are facing a time of affliction that can bring other anxieties. But of course, Christmas is not ultimately about warm, fuzzy feelings, is it? It's not about the presents under the tree. It's not about jingle bells. It's not about the guy in the big red suit. No, Christmas is about something else. Christmas is about God saving us. It's about righteousness, which rains down on an unrighteous world, and truth, which springs forth from a desert of deception. It's about righteousness and truth coming together and meeting each other in the manger. The Advent season is a season that never changes. It always follows the same footsteps no matter how the seasons of your life change. It always follows the same footsteps leading to the same manger, leading to the same Savior, leading to the same last day where He comes for you. It's about following the footsteps of God's righteousness until you find that salvation which endures forever appearing where you find Christ Jesus. Our psalm divides into three parts. As the psalmist in verses 1 through 3 is thinking back on God's saving presence in the past, as he starts praying about God's saving presence today, and then finally in the closing verses, as he is looking ahead to God's saving presence, which will go with him in the future. Follow the footsteps. Looking back on things, we can see the footsteps that have gone behind us. We can see a hopeful situation. The people of Israel had just been freed from exile. They're looking back on God's saving work as He brought King Cyrus to come and free them from the hands of the Babylonians who held them prisoner. The year was 538 BC, and they had just spent 70 years held captive, away from home, away from the fond, fuzzy memories, until finally God rescued them. He was faithful, and His footsteps led them back to their home, to Jerusalem, where they would begin rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed by other armies. The psalmist takes a moment to meditate on God's saving presence in the past. Lord, You have been favorable to Your land. You have brought back the captivity of Jacob. You have forgiven the iniquity of Your people. You have covered all their sin, Selah. You have taken away all Your wrath. You have turned from the fierceness of Your anger. Have you ever wondered what that word Selah means? It kind of pops up on the pages of the Psalms as if somebody had made an editing mistake and left this word out there that means nothing to us. Well, some scholars say that the word Selah is a musical notation. And as they would be speaking or singing the Psalms, Selah was a pause for meditation. It was a moment where they would play music and meditate on the words just spoken. It is good for us to take a moment for meditation in our lives as we remember how God has rescued us from captivity, how He has brought us back from being exiles in a foreign place, strangers to His ways, how He has saved us with His saving presence. We remember God's salvation. And so we're going to take a moment for music, and a moment for meditation, to remember how God has covered all of our sins, as I invited the organist to play. But the years pass on. The seasons change. It wasn't long before the seasons changed for Israel, too. God's saving presence seemed to have left them. And the excitement, the fervor of coming back to Jerusalem, coming back to their hometown, rebuilding the temple, had worn off, fizzled away. The temple project stalled for a while, and even though they'd eventually finish it, they would never really be free from the oppression of foreign powers. Other rulers coming and sitting on the throne in Jerusalem, war and unrest, economic struggles, health problems, the afflictions would seem to last forever. 400 years they would wait for God to answer their prayer. And so the people come in need of resurrection. They come to the Jordan River in need of God's saving presence. They come to the Jordan River in need of baptism, where John the Baptist meets them and God answers their prayers. And so they come confessing their sins, and we hear the word of our psalm, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger toward us to cease. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant us your salvation." The seasons change for us too. The excitement wears off. Christmases come and go, but we know not every Christmas is the same, and there's those seasons in our life where the excitement has seemed to fade away. We remember the glory days, the days when things were better, but now those days are gone and there's a new anxiety that comes our way. Afflictions. Maybe it's a divorce. Maybe it's a loss of a job. A loss of a loved one, a drinking problem, a sickness, someone who has hurt you badly, a season of Christmas where the family is not all together singing jingle bells. There are seasons that come in our life and they seem to last forever. They seem to leave us for dead. And even though we know we're redeemed, we know we're baptized, we still come to this moment of stagnancy where everything stalls. God's projects seem to have stalled and just left us standing and wondering, "How long, O Lord, will you make us wait? Will you be angry?" And so we come to the Jordan River in need of resurrection. We come to where the water flows. We come to the place where the baptismal font sits front and center because we know we need to be upfront about these things. Upfront about the ways that we've sinned. Upfront about the ways that we've stalled and become stagnant in our lives as Christians. Because only then do we find the footsteps that lead us to where we will find him. The footsteps of righteousness, in which we are honest and true about who we really are and how we've really sinned. And so we pray, "Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause your anger to cease." And in that repentance, God's footsteps take the lead. And his righteousness comes for us, leading the way to where we find him. And that is why every day is a season unchanging in which we pray for God's saving presence today. The seasons continue on. They move forward. Life is always moving forward. And a voice was crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord for what was coming." John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord, and he did so by preaching repentance and baptism and forgiveness. All the land of Judea and Jerusalem had come. They had followed the footsteps of their Lord until they came to the water. They came to God's forgiveness, and all of a sudden he appeared in a manger in Bethlehem. Jesus had finally come. This is where we see him. It is when we hear him. I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway. Can you see it? Righteousness raining down on an unrighteous world, and truth springing forth in a desert of deception. The Lord is looking down from heaven on a world filled with unrighteousness, filled with our unrighteousness, and he showers down everything that is good and right and just. And beneath it all is springing up truth in a world filled with lies, in our lives filled with our own deceptions. Truth is coming forth, something reliable and trustworthy that will never fail us, a season that never changes. Righteousness from above, truth from beneath, and they meet in the manger. Follow the footsteps. Hear the voice. Hear the voice that cries out, "Comfort, comfort my people. God has put away and covered all of your sins." These are the righteous footsteps of God himself as we hear them walking through the pages of Scripture, speaking to us comfort and words of hope that go before us. Can you see it? Can you hear it? The years do pass by. The seasons do change, and Christmas can bring a sort of anxiety. An anxiety that comes to a husband who sits at a table and looks at those divorce papers he just got in the mail. It reminds us that the peace of Christmas is never going to be found in this unrighteous world or in our unrighteous lives. It's never going to be found in the warm, fuzzy feelings of thinking back on days gone by. Because Christmas is about God saving us. It's a season where we go back to the first Christmas, where footsteps lead God's children to find the real gift of Christmas, the real presence that God has wrapped and set out before you today, where righteousness comes from above, truth springs up from beneath, and they meet in a manger. In a manger. Not a warm, fuzzy feeling, but a strange and uncomfortable one. A bed of itchy straw. Strips of cloth. This Christmas wasn't warm and fuzzy. It was in a barn. But there, God is saving us. There, in those strange, changing seasons of this world, is an unchanging season of God's salvation. And there a husband finds forgiveness and finds his Savior appearing for him yet again this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.